good singing all the way around. That's just a blessing from on high. And so it's good to see you this morning. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of 1 Peter in chapter number 1. 1 Peter in chapter number 1. As we look there in the chapter there in verse number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 2. Well, let's back up to verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, let's see here, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now verse 20. Verse 20 says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. By him, talking about Jesus, do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be in the house of God, bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder, how we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. We pray that, Lord, you'd right every wrong, and Lord, I pray you'd lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. Thank you for loving us, even while we were unlovable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on foreknowledge and foreordained. Now, when you begin to look into the Bible, you begin to realize and know that God certainly knows everything ahead of time. He knows it before it ever happens. He knows it before it ever gets here. He knows it and he foresees it and he has a forethought about it. And let me tell you, that's foreknowledge. God already knows. Nothing takes him by surprise. You ever have anything take you by surprise? Sure. Somebody may say, I didn't see that coming. I got news for you. God did. He knows exactly what's going on. Now, you know, while we may be going through a little heartache and heartbreak and sad time, this is not sad at all. I mean, it's sad enough, but it ain't sad at all. Let me tell you, God's got us and doing a cleansing, no doubt about it. And let me say to you what is, I'll tell you what's spooky and scary. When you're a pastor in a church and there's 70 in a house down the road trying to decide how they can vote you out. Now that's what's spooky. Been there, done that, see? Of course, most of the time, the way that happens is because everybody that's on the church roll, they go to getting out when they want to get you out, and they drag up everybody. My word, we had a house full of people one time wanting to vote me out, and my Lord, I never even seen half of them people that were in there the first 6 months that I was in the church. I thought, where in the world did these people come from? Oh, they're all members of the church. Oh, really? Well, God bless them. Do you know they didn't get to vote me out either? I kept thinking, Lord, this is going to be an easy decision. And lo and behold, that if they didn't, and man, people begin to solicit one another. Oh, don't you see what he's doing to you? Don't you see what's happening here? Yeah, the devil's losing this time around. I got to tell you, I was wanting to go a lot worse. You know, it looks bad, too. It looks bad whenever the preacher finds out they're doing that, and he's got his suitcase and everything he owns, and he's ready to hear the news. Well, preacher, what are you doing with all your bags packed and this and that and all? Well, I figure in a few minutes I'm fixing to get the news, and I won't even have to pray about it. If the devil decides for you, you ain't even got to pray about it. Just go on. See? I gotta say to you, hey, I've seen some things it wouldn't do to paint on an overpass in these last many years. But do you know that God knew everything going on? It always hurts just as bad, and always because of the fact is that you and I can't figure out what God's doing. But make no mistake about it, God, in his foreknowledge, is running everything right on time. And by the way, and I don't want to say this to be mean and all that, but all this hurt and this depression and all that we're going to be going through, somebody is going to give an account to God for it. And rest assured, it's not going to be me. I can tell you that right up front. If something happens that I fall dead before I leave this pulpit, you rest assured, I'm shouting it out, and this ain't on me. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that God knows exactly who we are, what we are, where we've been, what we've been involved in, and you better be careful. You better be careful. I guarantee you right now is that when you begin to look into this message here, you'll find that God knows and foresees, and He knows exactly who we are, where we are, and what we're going through. Now, in this lesson here, it's concerning a matter that we're talking about for salvation. God knows the beginning from the end. In verse number 2, that we read that. And the Bible said we're elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And let me say to you, is that sanctification of the Spirit and obedience to the sprinkling of the blood. He's talking about the mercy seat, and He's talking about the sacrificial lamb, and He's talking about the atonement for our sins when we got saved by the grace of God. I want to tell you something. God's not in the sprinkling business like the Methodists claim. The only sprinkling you'll find was the sprinkling of that blood that was upon the mercy seat. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find is that when you got saved by the grace of God, you had the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ upon the mercy seat of God. Now, I want to tell you, God knows everything from the beginning all the way to the end. But that's because that's foreknowledge. He wouldn't be God. He'd be less than God if He didn't know more than you and I know. He knows everything from the beginning all the way to the end. Now, I want to tell you something that concerning salvation, God knows exactly who He is and who He is not. But in verse 20 that we've read tonight, out of that chapter that's there, you're going to find out that He knows concerning the Savior. Look in verse 20. Who fairly was foreordained before the foundation of the world. He's talking about the Savior. Do you realize and know that foreordained means this is the way it's going to be? There's no other alternative. There's no selection. There's no option. Salvation is in a person. His name is Jesus Christ. And let me tell you right now, if somebody thinks they've got a pretty good alternate, I got news for you. It's done been foreordained that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And in Him is salvation, and in no other is there going to be any salvation whatsoever. No other name under heaven given among men, the Bible said, whereby we must be saved. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find concerning the Savior is that the Bible said in the book of Acts, don't turn there, in chapter number 2, and about verse number 23, is that it was already foreordained by God, by a determined counsel, they were going to crucify the Son of the living God. I want to tell you, that didn't take God the Father by surprise either. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you that when you and I got saved, here's some foreordained things that God's gave. He'll change your walk. He'll change your talk. He'll change your life. Listen, if you can jump out of church on Sunday having praising God and this and that, and you're lying and cheating and conniving and cussing and all that business there and using God's name in vain on Monday, that person needs saving, whoever that you are. I realize, though, that sometimes, that even at best, that we have a rough day and a rough time. But that ought not to be an every week practice for you. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that concerning separating from the world and fashioning after things of holiness and after the things of God, you're going to find out, the Bible said over in Romans in chapter 12, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, I'm not the same person I was before I got saved. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. There's a bunch of old baggage. Now, you know, as you grow older and get colder, then some of that old flesh goes to trying to bother in on you. But if you're a child of God, He'll smite your heart and let you know something is wrong in your life. And you need to watch it and get it straightened out. Now, notice, if you will, please, is that in this lesson that we're talking about, you're going to find out we've got a place that's been reserved for us. You know, I'm glad that I've got a reservation. Now, I'm glad the Lord has sealed it and by the Spirit of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I've got a place reserved for me, and you've got a place reserved for you if you're a child of God, and it's in heaven. We better try to get along best we can, because let me tell you, when you get to heaven, there's some people there that you're probably not going to like. I hope we have the ability to not like them. If not, I'm going to not like them right now just enough. In this Bible lesson, let me say to you, when you begin to look into it, you'll find is that the traits of a Christian are given. Number one is that in verse 21, they believe the gospel. If you're a child of God, you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number two is you not only believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, but you'll find you believe to the purifying of your soul. And what a wonderful thing that is, to be able to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin and to have the being born again. Notice, if you will, please, in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I'm going to tell you is that whatever God says, it'll be forever. The word of the Lord's not going to be changeable whatsoever. And let me tell you, when you got saved by the grace of God, He changed your life. He made a new creature out of you in Christ. Let me tell you something, is that when you believe in God to the purifying of the soul and to the saving of your soul, it just makes you want to obey the truth. And that's what He's talking about in verse number 21, 22, and 23 of our text. I got to tell you what He else do there in verse 22. There's an unfeigned love of the brethren. Now, when you got saved and I got saved, God hooked us up with the family of God. We got a lot of brothers and sisters that are in Christ. And let me tell you right up front, dear friend, make no mistake about it, is that if you're a child of God, you can't help but love the church of the living God. Now, people that are in church and out of church are more out than they are in. They've got a love for something else. Because let me tell you right now is God's not going to let me by. And God's not going to let you by with just jumping out and living your own life and being in church and out of church and up church and down church. God's not going to let you live like that if you're a child of God. If you can do that, and God's going to finally chastise you, and whenever God gets through dusting your britches for you, or your skirt if you're a lady, and when God gets done with you, when He turns you loose, you'll live for God. But if you can be without chastisement, the Bible said, then are you bastards and you're not sons. If you can live in sin and not be chastened by the Lord, then what you need saving. In this Bible lesson we're looking at, you find is that a lot of time, you know, and here's what people go to thinking, and especially when you go to getting full of the flesh instead of the Spirit. Is He talking about me? I don't know, am I? See, that's something you're going to have to decide. That ain't something I decide. That's something you're going to have to decide. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out that the traits of a Christian are obeying the truth and unfeigned love for the brethren, and that endures forever. Do you realize, though, that the Bible said to let not the sun go down on your wrath? That means you've got to better take care of your business before sundown. And I want to tell you something else on top of that. Is that you go ahead and harboring and hiding and all that junk right there, and it building up, and it's going to get worse instead of better. And I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a whole lot of things I've told many of you and been telling all of you since I've been. The buck stops right here. But if you're going to play hide and seek and all of that, buck's going to stop in your lap, and you're going to give an account to God for that. There's a lot of things that I could fix that'd be a whole lot different. But I have to know, it's been reported among you. Isn't that what He told that chariot at Corinth? You know the reason why? You know the reason why that He was on them? Because they weren't just sneaking around playing hide and seek. Now I can tell you right up front, you catch people doing that most of the time that it's in the corporate world. They're trying to scratch my back and I'll scratch your back, and each one of them's got something they want to be able to hide. You know the reason why you hadn't heard nothing bad on Dennis Anderson? Is because there ain't nothing there to find. I've been examined many times in 50-something years. It's never easy on the wife, never easy on the kids. But I can guarantee you right now, it's good to be able to come out and find out that like a bright shining light. And if I got a problem with you, I'll come today and talk to you. I'm not going to wait and carry it on, and all of a sudden, do you realize it though, that in the world we're living in, that's the way the world operates. You see, as we look into this Bible passage here, the traits of a Christian, this Bible says whatever it is, it won't blow you out of the saddle, it'll endure you forever. I begin to think about in this kind lesson that we're looking at, we're to grow in grace and love and knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And when we do that, you're going to find out God knows exactly what we've got, what we're made of, how much we can take. He knows how much we can grow and what. And do you know something? Is that some of you are smarter, no doubt, than I am. And you're going to give a greater account to God than I will for not what you know, for the ability of what you could know. I'm going to give an account for the ability of what I could have known. But I was too lazy to study and to get it down or to believe it when it was preached. I begin to think about in this lesson that's here, you'll find out, is that it's been foreordained for God that you and I know Jesus Christ. And when we'd come to know Him in the free pardon of sin, there's some ordained traits concerning our talk, concerning our walk, concerning our life, concerning our appearance, concerning our fashion. See, all of that's in the Bible. Now, in the book of Luke, in chapter 16, I want you to see it there, Luke, in the book of Luke, there's a passage over there in chapter number 16. And in this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find there's going to be people every now and again, well, I just believe it's foreordained, really? Well, let me just tell you right now is, in Luke chapter number 16, verse number 25, here's a man that died and was laid in Abraham's bosom named Lazarus. The rich man that died, and as a result, he was cast into hell. And the Bible says that he makes an appeal in verse 25 of Luke 16. And he's made an appeal that Abraham would let Lazarus come and dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame, verse 24. Verse 25, but Abraham said, now watch this, son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Now, I want you to watch that. Do you know what happened there? God didn't tell this man, well, it's been foreordained for you to be here in hell. That ain't what he said. He reminds him that in his lifetime, while you still were alive, you could have received the Lord. You could have trusted in the Lord. But you ignored the message that was sent by Lazarus. And now he is comforted and thou art tormented. You know the reason why you're tormented? You didn't believe the message of Lazarus that I sent to you. It wasn't because he was foreordained. It was because he wasn't a believer and didn't want to be a believer. It's a responsibility of you and I to believe God and to obey Him and to receive Him in spirit and in truth. And this man here was reminded in his lifetime the opportunities that he had. But somehow or another, he just let all of them slip away from him. Until he died without hope and without God, without the Lord. And now he's in a place called hell, the lake of fire, the bottomless pit where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. Now in closing, I want to say to you that, if you will, that God gives us some things concerning predestined traits. Do you know it's impossible to be saved and not be like Jesus? See that? It's impossible to be saved and not be like the Lord. It's been already foreordained. That's something, buddy. Here's an ordained appearance. That God's going to fashion you according to the image of Christ. And I want to tell you something. When you're born again, in fact, let me give you a passage for that. Romans in chapter number 8. It's about verse number 29. But over there in that passage there, here's what Romans in chapter number 8 and verse 29 gives you out and says. He says there in this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that what he does is that in verse number 29, he says, for whom he did for no, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. See, that's a foreordained trait right there. In the foreknowledge of God, when you get saved, you're going to have some images of Christ. You're going to be like Christ. You're going to have the air of Christ, you see. You see, what we're doing is, in the day we live in, we want to be able to pat people on the back we like, kick people in the behind, we don't. You remember when Jesus was over there and they were trying to trip him up? They brought a woman that was committing adultery and was caught in the very act. And the Bible said that as he knelt down and he wanted to know as a result of that, they wanted to accuse her, but vice versa. In the day we live in, if we're not careful, we want to work on the buddy plan. If a man's wrong, where's the woman in the deal? See what I'm talking about? If the woman is wrong, where's the man in the deal? In the day and hour that we're living in, you're going to find out that if you're a child of God, He will conform you to the image of God. Let him that is without sin cast the first stone, is what He told them that day. And buddy, let me tell you right now, is they begin to drop them from the eldest down one by one. Somebody's the leader of the pack. Make no mistake about that. And I can tell you right now is, I look out here at most of your faces, and I remember when you got saved. And I can remember how disappointing that some of the people who bet money on in their minds that you wouldn't last long. And I said, well, that's not our business. Let's just wait and see. And boy, after all these years, they've got an if and but, I grant you. You know the reason why they always got an if, hand, and but? They're Billy Goat Baptists. Yeah. Well, I meant but. I love you, but. See, I'm glad with God there's no ifs, no ands, no buts, no maybe so's about it whatsoever. I want to say to you in closing that this morning that if we will please, when God chose you and I to be born into the family of God, He chose, and it's ordained, that first of all, you're going to have to hear. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. When He does, He'll give you the mark of holiness. People can tell that you're like Jesus, that you've been with Him. Not only that, but He'll give you the trait of being an heir. Do you know I'm a joint heir with God and a joint heir with Jesus? I'm an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And do you know that? Whatever He has is mine. Whatever I have is His. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out that sometime there's an ordained thing that we're going to hurt every now and again. It must needs be that you're going to have to suffer for a little while. See? You know, if what you'll do is that the next time there's a problem that comes up that you're having trouble dealing with, if you'll go ask five preachers how to solve it, as soon as they get through wasting your time, you can junk all that and then find out what God says about the matter. Most of the time, people have learned something from psychology. And you know what psychology does? It makes you feel good about yourself like you are without the need to repent. See? And let me tell you right now, open rebuke is better than secret love. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Make no mistake about that whatsoever. God has got us hell-proof and heaven-bound. If so be, you're a child of God. These are some predestined things and the foreknowledge and the foreordination of God that He's given for you and I that are undeniable. Do you realize to know that I know a ton of people that want to quit that are still staying by the stuff? I can't tell you how many times I've wanted to. I mean, I really can't. I can understand with all the hell that's being raised in churches why people don't want to go to church. I can understand why nobody wants to be a preacher any longer. No, I'm tired of it. But when I look out across there, God's still the same and running everything right on time. See that? And if you don't gird up your loins and all that right there, I don't know what it'd take to finally blow you out of the saddle. And I'm not just talking about folks that have been here since I've been here. I'm not talking about newcomers since then. I'm talking about my children, my grandchildren. I don't know what it'll take to blow you out of the saddle, but the devil will try everything that he can come up with to see what he can do. One of these days, I'm going to resign from here, and I'm going to leave here too. Maybe through the portal of death. But I can tell you this right here, is that when it comes my time, I'm going to know God's done with me, and I'm going to know what the next thing is that God's going to want me to do. I'm not going to have to go hunt it. I'm not going to have to wonder about it. I'm not going to have to settle for second best. I'm going to know exactly what God wants for my life and what God wants me to do next. I remember whenever I was first called to this area, I was over there in Trinity Baptist in Broadus, Texas. an old boy that we'd been working on, trying to get to come to church and this and that, and his wife had finally, she'd come, made a profession, this and that. I remember the Sunday that I was going to resign. And in my heart, I already knew that I was going to be coming over here to this area. And so it's time for me to resign. And I got up there. And before I could resign, I went ahead. Of course, you know, we had service. And not only that, but then we had an invitation. And wouldn't you just know it? A man come jumping up out of the pew and come running down the aisle and said, "Preacher, and just trimmed it all over. Preacher, I need to be saved. I want to be saved." And you think the devil won't go to messing with your mind then? Well, maybe I ought not to be leaving then. No, no. I was settled in my heart. That's what God wanted me to do. And after that it was said and done, I said, "Hey, buddy, I want to say congratulations for knowing the Lord. You're in good hands with the Lord Jesus Christ. But God has laid on my heart to be gone, and this is my last Sunday, and I'm resigning." And boy, the whole crowd sitting there looking dumbfounded. And let me tell you, when God's in it, if God guides, He'll provide. I hadn't been over here in this area for 6 months and dealing with that crowd. I thought maybe I listened to hell instead of heaven. It's never easy. You ever have somebody while you were teaching Sunday school, all of a sudden, you know, jump up and go to reprimanding you and contradictive of you? No, you hadn't had that. I have more than one time. I want to tell you something. God's running everything right on time. Now, you can either sit around and, you know, play mumble peg and fumble your thumb and this and that. And you know what's wrong with the average Baptist? I'm going to say this over and over again until one of these days somebody gets it. They're busy playing with their text message instead of listening to the message that comes from heaven. And that's the reason why they don't know nothing. I wonder this morning as we look into it, God knows who we are, where we are, what we need, and so forth and on. And you better gird up your loins, because it's going to be rough sailing between now and the time the Lord Jesus Christ shall come again. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for loving us, even while we were unlovable. I want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Thank you for all you're doing. I pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. We'll thank you in advance for that.